Praise God. Thank you, Beth. Man, what an example of really a life surrendered to God. I don't know about you, but I've never been to such a mission field like that. In fact, if I was asked to go there, I might even question like, I don't think God's calling me there. But you know what, guys? Just like Beth said, as long as it takes a life surrendered to God to go places and do things like that, as long as you and I are content with the day-to-day social things, as long as we're content with trying to get the cars and make money and do the things we do here in America, we'll never reach the lost. We'll never heal the broken. We'll never heal the sick and help the dying. We'll never be the church that God calls us to be. It's when you and I choose to come into a place where, you know what, God, I surrender all. I surrender all. And you know what, Lord, that means that even though I have a right to enjoy these different things that we get to enjoy here, God, I'm going to lay it aside for now. I'm going to do your will. I'm going to reach the people that are lost. Amen. So why don't you guys go ahead and give Beth another round of applause. That was great. Well, praise God, in the few minutes that we have left, I just want to share a couple quick things with you from the Word of God. So if you brought your Bibles, go ahead and get those out. Are you guys ready for the Word of God tonight? If you brought your Bibles, go ahead and turn in them with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And while you turn there, I'm just going to go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you today, Lord. And we thank you, Father God, for the privilege, Lord, and the opportunity to come into your house, Father God, to praise you, to worship you, Father God, to experience your presence, Father God, to hear your voice. Lord, tonight we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for your Word, because your Word has made the difference in our lives. Father God, the Bible says that, Lord, your Word is a lamp to my feet, to our feet, and a light to our path. And so, Lord, it's by your Word that we know and we see the way that we're supposed to go, Father God. So today, Lord, we ask that you'd open up our hearts, open up our minds, Father God. Help us to hear, help us to understand what you're saying to us today. And Father God, I thank you, Lord, that we'll not just come into another service tonight and leave the same, but Lord, that we'd be forever changed by you. In Jesus' mighty name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, you're there in Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start reading in verse number 9. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 9, and Jesus says here, he says, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here we go, verse number 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day, Lord, our daily bread. Jesus is literally talking about in this verse the things that you and I eat, what we eat for breakfast, what we eat for lunch, what we eat for dinner. And so he comes along and he says, when you pray, he says, pray like this, Heavenly Father, give us this day our daily bread. In other words, God wants us to trust him when it comes to not only the big things, but also the small things in life, like simply what we're going to eat today. I don't know about you, but I don't worry too much about what I eat. I have a job. I know I make money. I know I'll be provided for. But God wants us to trust him. God wants us to go to him when it comes to even the things we eat. God doesn't want us to be worried. He doesn't want us to be anxious. He doesn't want us to be overwhelmed, consumed with trying to provide for ourselves. Are you with me so far? God wants us to trust in him, and God wants us to go to him when it comes to even the things that we eat throughout the day. It's as simple as that. Now, let me ask you this question tonight. If God wants us to trust him, if God wants us to go to him when it comes to the things that we eat and the things that we feed ourselves physically, how much more do you think God wants us to trust him and God wants us to go to him when it comes to feeding our heart, when it comes to feeding our spirit, when it comes to feeding our soul? Hello, anybody? When it comes to feeding our mind and our will and our emotions. You know, what you and I feed ourselves, what we feed our heart, what we feed our spirit, what we allow into our mind and what we allow into our life is much more important than the food that we eat. Is anybody out there? See, the food you and I eat every day, breakfast, lunch, dinner, the food that we eat every day, it's there to keep us alive. It's there to help us exist. All right, but the food you and I eat, the food that we allow into our lives, into our hearts, into our minds, will determine what kind of life that we're going to live. All right, it'll determine the quality of life that we live. And so while food just keeps our body alive, it enables us to get up in the morning and do the things we do, what we feed our spirit and what we feed our soul will determine the kind of life that we're going to live. You can exist here on earth and you could have a home and you can have a job and you can have all this kind of stuff and your life just be in the pits because it's not about the food that you and I eat. You know, I'm convinced that if people would worry and if people would think about what they allowed into their lives, what they allowed into their spirit, what they fed their heart and their mind and their soul, if they'd worry and if they'd think about that as much as they thought about their diet, they'd have a whole lot less issues in life. They'd be victorious a whole lot more in their life. All right? And so when it comes to feeding ourselves, God wants us to be dependent upon Him. Are you with me tonight? All right, Jesus comes along in John chapter 10 and verse 10. We're not going to turn there right now. We have it up here on the overheads. It's never been God's desire for us to just feed our physical body and just exist, just go about day to day. All right, doing the things that we do, going to work, coming home. God's will for our lives, God's desire for our lives has always been that we would have life and have it more abundantly. So Jesus comes along here in John chapter 10, verse 10, and he says, "The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy." He says, "But I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." How many people in the house can raise your hand and say, "I want that life that God has for me, life more abundantly. I don't want to just exist by feeding the outer shell." All right? So tonight, I just want to share with you three quick things about if we're going to have this life and life more abundantly, what it's going to take. All right, so tonight, if you're going to have life and have it more abundantly, number one, you're going to have to realize that life doesn't come from food. I know we already talked about it a little bit. I know we're going really deep tonight, but life doesn't come from food. What do I mean by that? How many of you have ever, you've showed up at work maybe 5, 10, a few minutes early, or maybe it's been you're going to college and you've showed up to class and there's just a few minutes before class, and you look over, man, and you can tell, man, your friend is having a bad day already. Like, it's not even 8 o'clock in the morning yet, and you can tell, man, they got up on the wrong side of the bed, something went wrong, something's going on, and I don't know what it is, but already from the get-go, man, my friend, my coworker, whoever it is, they're having a bad day. And you, being the good friend that you are, it's kind of like, hey, man, you know, wanting to help if you can. Hey, man, is everything going all right? Is everything all good? Come to find out, the whole root, the whole bottom line, the whole reason why they're having a bad day, man, I didn't get my coffee this morning. Anybody ever run across somebody like that? All of a sudden, I mean, their attitude is just like, wow, what happened to you? Man, I didn't get my coffee this morning. Or what about, you know, I'm sure that, like me, you've heard those people from time to time that they say, man, I'm just depressed, I'm just discouraged, things aren't really going my way, so I'm just eating a lot. I'm just in the dumps, so I'm just eating a lot. Anybody say anything like that to them? Okay, three people. Never mind. No. I've heard that a lot. Man, I'm just depressed. Things aren't going my way, so I just feel like eating. I just feel like, and what they don't realize that they're doing is they're trying to draw life. They're trying to feed their heart. They're trying to feed their soul. They're trying to minister to their mind, if you will, by the things that they eat. All right, but life. Life more abundantly doesn't come from the things that we eat. Watch what Jesus has to say about this. Turn with me in your Bible to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Life doesn't come from the food we eat. Here in Luke chapter 4, the Holy Spirit has led Jesus out into the wilderness, and the devil shows up and begins to tempt Jesus. Luke chapter 4 and verse 3, and watch what the Bible says. Says, "And the devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread.' But Jesus answered him, saying, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God.'" Let me say that again. "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." In other words, you and I, we can't get up in the morning, comb our hair, brush our teeth, eat breakfast, go about the first half of our day, take a break, eat lunch, go about the last half of our day, eat dinner, and expect to have life and life more abundantly. Let me say it again. We can't get up in the morning, do our usual routine, comb our hair, brush our teeth, do our thing, eat breakfast, go about the first half of our day, take a break, take a time out, eat lunch, go about the last half of our day, eat dinner, watch our favorite show, play some video games, whatever it is, go to bed and expect to have life. In other words, you and I can't just go about a daily routine of doing things and expect to have life. It's going to take more than that. It's going to take more than just eating three meals a day. Are you following me so far? It's going to take more. It's going to take more. It's going to take God. And so Jesus comes along here and it says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And then he actually gets a little specific here and he says, but by every word of God. In other words, life comes from God's word. So tonight, if we're going to have this life and have it more abundantly, number one, we're going to have to realize life doesn't come from food, or probably better said, life doesn't come from just living out life, from just existing, from just having the daily routine of getting up and eating three meals a day, going to the job that we go to, talking with the friends that we have on the phone. It's going to take more. It's going to take more. Life does not consist, and life does not come from food. All right? If we're going to have this abundant life that Jesus talks about in John chapter 10, verse 10, number one, we're going to have to realize life doesn't come from food. Number two, we're going to have to realize life doesn't come from the things that we possess. You can't have life based on the abundance of the things that you possess. Here in America, you know, we have the saying, you know, following the American dream. And here in America, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but we have the freedom to just pursue whatever we want. But life does not consist. Life doesn't come from the things that we have. I think if you and I were honest with ourselves, even as Christians, and probably not even meaning to do so, probably not even thinking about it, from time to time, if we were honest with ourselves, we'd have to admit that, you know what? My life, from time to time, my life's goal, my life's purpose, my life's pursuit right now is all about acquiring something. I love God and I go to church faithfully but really, if I were to be honest with myself right now, I'm really pursuing, really my heart's goal, really my life's thing right now is I'm in pursuit of that new car. Man, I gotta have that black SS with the navigation. Hello, anybody? Gotta have that new Camaro, man. Gotta have the car, gotta have the car, gotta get the car, gotta get the car. I got the car and I'm happy for a little bit. And then all of a sudden, I gotta tint the windows, man. I gotta tint the windows. Gotta put a stereo. Gotta tint the windows. I tint the windows, and I'm happy for a little bit. Oh man, I got the stereo too. I gotta get those rims. Gotta get those rims. Gotta put the rims on. Gotta get the low profile tires. Gotta get the rims. I got the rims, and I'm happy for a little bit. But guys, life does not consist. And on we go. Life does not consist in the things that we possess. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. And watch what Jesus says. Life doesn't come from the abundance of the things that we have. Why pursue with all of our hearts? Why chase after these things so much? Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. Luke 12 verse 15 says, and Jesus said to them, take heed. In other words, be careful, watch out, and beware of covetousness. Or basically covetousness, this desire, I gotta have it. I gotta have it. Many times if you look in the Bible at the word covetousness, if somebody's being covetous, they're even willing to step on their neighbor. They're willing to take advantage of the people just because they gotta have it. It speaks of this I gotta have it attitude, this overwhelming desire for something. It says, take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist, or one's life is not made up in the abundance of the things that he possesses. That's not where life comes from, God. Guys, life does not come from, like we talked about, food. Life does not come from the things we possess. Listen, tonight, guys, life doesn't come from Xbox Live. Tonight, life doesn't come from PlayStation 3 and computer games. You might think that's ridiculous, but you know what? One of the number one reasons for divorce right now in counseling sessions around America is that the husband won't get off his butt and do something, spend some time with his family. He's doing video games from the beginning of the day till the end. He gets up in the morning, plays video games before he goes to work. Goes to work, comes home, plays some more video games all night long, every single day. It's the number one reason. Life does not come, guys, you need to hear it, from Xbox Live. Listen, guys, tonight, if you're going to let me pastor you, you're going to have to hear it. Life doesn't come from having a boyfriend. Stop it. Stop. I got a boyfriend, and I'm happy for a little. Life doesn't come from having a girlfriend. Life doesn't come from getting married. I'm sure if you want to get married, you know, so bad, I'm sure you'll find somebody who wants to marry you. Believe me, if you want to get married that bad, I've talked to some people, man, and they'll find somebody to get married to. It might not be God's will, but they'll find them. Life doesn't come from getting married. Guys, tonight, life doesn't come from having sex. Life doesn't come from doing drugs. Life doesn't come from partying and drinking and having a good time. Life comes from one, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is the only giver of life. I'm tired of the world, and I'm tired of people pushing all these things, the Lakers, and I'm not saying that some of these things are bad, but I'm tired of them exalting it time and time again, over and over. Every time I go home and I turn on the TV, it's the Lakers, it's the World Cup, it's the new car, it's the new career. Life comes from Jesus Christ and nobody else. All right, so number one, so if we're going to have this life and have it more abundantly, number one, we're going to have to realize life doesn't come from food. Everyday living, just existing. It's going to take a little bit more. Number two, life doesn't come from the things that we possess. Which leads us to our last point tonight. Life doesn't, if we're going to have this life and have it more abundantly, we're going to have to realize that life comes from God. Life comes from God. If you're there in Luke, turn with me to Isaiah, which is back in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 55. Life comes from God. Isaiah chapter 55, we're going to start reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Ho!" Anybody else say that? Look at your neighbor and say, "Ho!" And no, you're not calling them a ho, all right? This was written long before we came up with that term. Look at your other neighbor and say, "Hold up, wait a minute." All right, I think you guys can do better than that. I really do. All right, so one more time. Say, "Hold up, wait a minute." Are you listening tonight? Yeah, you're supposed to say that too. Who is the one person that said that? Oh, yeah. All right. Watch what the Bible says. Remember, we're talking about if we're going to have this life and life more abundantly, we're going to have to realize that life comes from God. Isaiah 55, verse 1, it says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy?" In other words, why are you spending your life for these things? Watch what he says here. "Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear," watch this, "and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David." Tonight, guys, if we're going to have this life that Jesus talks about in John chapter 10, we're going to have to realize, number one, life doesn't come from food. It doesn't come just because we exist and we have a daily routine. Number two, life does not come from the things that we possess. And number three, life comes from God. I love what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, and we're not going to turn there right now. I'll just tell you what it says. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says that, "But God, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead," we were existing, all right, but the Bible says, "even when we were dead in our trespasses and in our sins, God came and made us alive together with Christ Jesus." Can I get an amen? We just We just finished a series last week in Romans chapter 8. And if you remember Romans chapter 8, the Bible says, if the spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. I love what it says next. It says, therefore, we are no longer debtors to live according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. And if you, by the spirit, put to death the works and the deeds of your flesh, you'll live. And so tonight, just three quick things about having this life and having it more abundantly. Number one, we have to realize life doesn't come from food, from a daily routine. Number two, life doesn't come because of the abundance of the things that we possess. And finally, number three, life comes from God and from his word. If you got something out of the word of God tonight, go ahead and give him a great big praise.